Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pro's number one most trusted app. Finding a home is like dating. You're not just looking for a place to live. You're searching for the one. That's where Realtor.com comes in. Like any good matchmaker, they know exactly where to look. With over 500,000 new real listings straight from the pros every month, you could find your perfect match today. Ranch style with a pool, barn dominium with an in-law suite, Realtor.com's got them. Modern craftsman with a big yard and a treehouse out back, Realtor.com will have you saying, yep, that's the one. No more swiping. It's time to start finding. Download the Realtor.com app today, cause you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2025 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings. July 2024 to June 2025.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books, one to go. 1 hour left, big show. Way back Wednesday, Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5. Songs about drinking pre-2009. Nick, in hour number three.
Yes, sir.
I'm so full. I could just take a nap right now. Can y'all do this hour?
Sure, please, leave.
That's just a precursor to what's to come.
Yeah.
It's fine. How are you going to drive to San Antonio? Caffeine up?
No, I might just take a nap in my car for an hour and then go.
Okay. Wake up to
actually, I could go to
traffic.
AJ's office and sleep down there. He'll be on air. He won't be using it. Just go down there and take a nap.
He should have put that couch that used to be in here in there.
Ugh, no. That couch was disgusting.
He should have put that couch too. That was in here in there.
That's why. Get the herps. No, I'm good.
No, he slept on it more than anybody.
That's true.
I got pictures of him sleeping on it while we're on the air.
Yeah, you did. He was not happy about that.
Yeah.
If the Texans... Oh, we did that one. What are the odds the Saints flip their second round pick to the Giants for their tight end Ingram? Let me know.
Giants aren't...
Name's Brandon. Big fan of the show. Also a huge Saints fan.
Yeah, I mean... Obviously, wishful thinking on the Saints' part, but I don't think the Giants' mission is to completely clear the cupboard bare. I think they did most of the housekeeping. That the only other housekeeping they'd like to do is do something with Eli and his exorbitant contract for what he's got left in the tank. But other than that, I think that they're going to try and keep the majority of their young players.
I would think so. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't even heard that as being in the discussion.
I haven't either. That's what I'm saying.
A couple more texts. Are y'all going to be out broadcasting somewhere for the start of the NCAA tournament? Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for that. Personally, I don't want 2/3 of the usual suspects to die. I don't know. There's three of us, but they only want two of us to not die. That's interesting. Even money on all of us.
I'll win you back
which
over.
One.
Don't worry.
I was going to say, even money.
Yeah.
That it's one that it could be any of the three of us that they want to die. Somebody said Williams just re-signed with the Panthers.
Well, there goes that idea. So as you said, you don't have to necessarily jump right away.
Nope.
But if you're being patient, and I said, make sure you get your guy, because if you get caught not getting the guy that you waited around for, thinking you were going to catch a deal, you could catch a cold because you could be out in it. And that's what they look like they are right now.
Oh, boy.
Do you really want to see your secondary fill those holes in the draft? Based on where they're picking?
Based on how Kevin Johnson did?
Right.
Nope.
No.
I don't trust it.
No. It's just a bad look, man. And here's the thing. I mean, Brian Gain wanted to try and make you forget Rick Smith. Right now, not doing it.
Yeah, I wanted to validate that. Yeah, CBS does have on their free agent tracker Darrell Williams back to the Carolina Panthers for a 1-year deal. Okay. You telling me you couldn't get a 1-year deal that would have beat the Panthers for this team? A 1-year deal to add an offensive tackle. And look, I know he was hurt. I get it. I know. But the potential that kid has,
If you're willing to give a one-year deal to Roby, why not be willing to give another one-year deal to Williams and say, prove it both ways, then we don't take an exorbitant cap hit and we're not on the hook for a long-term deal.
You've got
you're not either, but if it works out and the marriage is right and you learned your lesson that Tyrann Mathieu told you, which is if you want to extend, do it in the middle of the season. By the mid-season point, you'll know what you got. And if they're playing well, keep them in the house. If not, show them the door at the end of the year.
There are no more offensive linemen in the top 50 of free agents available.
That hurts.
Yeah. So I can literally read you the list of top 50 free agents that are left, starting with the one that we've talked about, Bryce Callahan. And Ndamukong Suh is 18. They have him listed as the 18th best free agent. He's still available. Ronald Darby, Golden Tate, Tevin Coleman, Marcus Golden, HaHa Clinton Dix, Rodney Gunter, Mark Ingram. Oh, no, sorry. KJ Wright. Mark Ingram's with the Ravens. KJ Wright, Darqueze Dennard, Jimmy Ward, Shaquille Barrett, Brent Urban, Muhammad Wilkerson, Bruce Irvin, and Adrian Phillips. No offensive lineman left. Got tons of defense. Still could go out and get a corner.
Well, and we said all along, if you're going to go to the offensive lineman route, more times than not, unless you're going to overpay if you're going to get one of the top 10, whatever it is. And other than that, you're probably going to have to draft them and nurture them and train them to be the kind of player that you want, and then you keep them. So I was expecting them to go heavy on the O-line in the draft, but I wasn't expecting them to take the hits in the secondary and do nothing about it.
I'd love to know what the deal was.
For Williams?
Yeah. Schefter just says, right tackle Daryl Williams. Oh, where'd it go? Damn you, internets. Daryl Williams is re-signing with the Panthers on a one-year deal per source. Approve it deal. Approve it year for Williams coming off an injury.
So if they're willing to do it, why wouldn't you be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely right.
Or give him a two-year deal. And then the second year is no cap hit. If you want to, like, you know, I don't know.
It's frustrating, man. It really is. And in our job, look, we're not hating. We're just being honest. And in this case, it's brutally honest because you want to be in this position the day of the actual signings being able to take place and talk about all the big wins of this organization, this franchise, this general manager. You want to talk about the fact that they saw a need and they went out and they addressed it. They identified the players they want and they got them. They overpaid a little bit, but that showed the commitment to make sure that they are going to be winning and winning, competing for championships. Instead, you can't even say you stood pat. You took a step back.
Well, hope you're happy, Texans fans. Hope you're happy with the moves. I almost want to use air quotes when I say moves that they made.
But here's the thing. Even if you're the most diehard Texans fan, your response is going to be, still got the draft. Still got time. Could make a trade, too. Well, you can keep hope eternal, and you can drink the blue Kool-Aid till you're blue in the face. But right now, it doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't look good. And you do have a young Deshaun Watson.
Sure.
But, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is in his prime. Lamar Miller's probably got another good year and a half left in him before he gets too old, I think, for at the running back position at least. I just feel like this is a team where you've got enough talent on both sides of the ball defensively. You at least have Clowney for one more year. You've got J.J. Watt. You've got a pretty good linebacking core now that you've built up, and that's great. You could have added a couple of names in the secondary. You could have added a couple of names on the offensive line. And then, yes, you would have been a legitimate contender, not just in the division, but I think you could have, you know, I don't think they're winning a Super Bowl necessarily, but depending on who you add, if you make a big enough splash, look what the hell the Browns did.
Yeah.
One player moved the needle so much for the Browns. And that's not with talent-wise. I mean, who are you taking, J.J. Watt or Myles Garrett? I'll take J.J. Watt.
I would take J.J. Watt as well.
Yeah, who are you taking, Deshaun Watson or Baker Mayfield? You can call that a wash.
That's a toss-up.
You can call that a wash. But who are you taking, DeAndre Hopkins or OBJ? Call it a wash.
A wash.
I mean, I'll take Hunt over Lamar Miller.
Well, but you can go to the other receiver position and say Landry's going to beat whatever you got there.
Fuller?
Yeah, Fuller's coming off an injury.
I also like QT in the slot. Hands. Yeah, but I like QT in the slot. Yeah. I mean,
and again, another one's health reasons.
You want to look at three deep, though. I mean, Texans three deep.
Running back, I'm going to take
Browns are better. Miller, Browns are deeper at running back, but defensively.
I don't know. Blue against Hunt. Hunt plays. That's close.
Linebacking core, I think I'll take the Texans on that.
Will you? Based on potential or last season?
No, that's a legitimate linebacking core that they put together. But the secondary, not anymore. If you would have been able to re-sign Tyrann Mathieu and maybe go out and get a Darby or somebody like that to fill a corner slot, then I would absolutely take that. But I don't know. Browns have a better cornerback than anybody on the Texans. Yeah.
Ward is Cammy great.
Fairbairn. Yeah, you've got a great kicker. Oh, yay.
The Browns would have traded for that, traded places with you.
But it's amazing. So
tell you what, if they trade places with Cammy Fairbairn last year, they might be a playoff team.
But we just talked about the differences in those teams. I mean, you look at how similar the Browns are, right? But they made one splash, one big name, and it flips the script on everything.
Olivier Vernon's not as big as OBJ, but it's a pretty good ad.
It's a good ad.
Sign Sheldon Richardson.
That's a big one that I keep forgetting about. There. But yeah. Sheldon Richardson and OBJ. But the Texans are capable of doing that. They have the cap space to do that. They just didn't, and they don't.
But you also have other ways of being aggressive. Look what the Raiders did. They gave up a third and a fifth, and they got Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then they went out and signed the number one lineman on the board. They made moves.
That's the point I'm making. Like a couple of these moves completely changes the outlook on a team. That's close. If you think you're close, then make the big splashes. Don't sit pat.
No doubt about it. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's the final hour of the show. And in case you missed it, a topic that we talked about yesterday, the results are in. Fines have been levied and discipline has been taken in the Westbrook versus the Jazz fan. We'll get to that and a whole lot more in the final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Bartender, I really did it this time.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of the show rolls on. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio at Gal Media. Before we head our separate ways for the rest of the week, Nick and I to Little D, as Craig Ackerman used to call it, on the air, heading to Dallas for the fight while Barry heads to San Antonio and the Riverwalk.
Yay! I'm not going to lie. I usually am not one to hope a show gets canceled. I'm so sleepy after all that food.
Now, we've talked about this, but you get paid if they cancel it.
Yeah. Like, I'm supposed to headline tonight, but it's not going to hurt my feelings if I get there and they're like, well, we only have 9 tickets sold. We're not going to do a show. Okay.
No, you got to act mad at that point.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true.
You got to throw the fit.
Like, what?
Like, you're genuinely upset. Yeah.
Because they'll be like, well, okay, well, let's do it then. And be like, damn it. That would be my luck. I'd be like, oh, are you serious? I really want to do a show. Okay. I'd be like, oh, God.
People walking by, I heard that there's a hell of a show going on in here. They're gonna walk up crowd's gonna be unbelievable.
No, I'm not saying a word. Well, we're thinking about. I'd be like, okay, bye. You don't even have to
You're
say no more.
There the rest
yeah,
of the
that's
week?
True. You get the answer you want, you walk away, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the rule?
No, yeah, immediately.
Isn't that the advice? That's what everybody's told me.
Absolutely. You don't sit there and hem haw around.
Look where
and
I'm
have,
at now.
What?
Just an amazing place.
Yeah. I feel like you're being facetious.
A little bit.
I feel
Are
like
you?
He is too. Yeah.
I feel like you're in a way better place than you were 2.5 years ago.
That's probably true.
Okay.
That's a definite.
There's always a different way of looking at things.
Yeah.
Barry just for once took the bright side.
Yeah. I'm glad he just stopped at 2.5 years ago, though. He could have added so much more context to that.
Yeah.
Got me in trouble.
Yeah.
You want to get our boy in here before we move on?
Let's do it.
Yeah, he's Clarence.
He's been waiting.
What up, guys?
What's up, man?
All right. 2 questions. First. Is Brian, y'all call Brian Gaines a Bill O'Brien guy?
Yes.
Okay, so that leads to my next question. How much, the percentage, how much of it is to blame on Brian Gaines? And how much is it actually on Bill O'Brien? Is he making a percentage of personnel calls because he's his boy?
I would say this, Clarence, and Barry, obviously, you know as well as anybody on any of this stuff, too. I'm just going to throw in my 2 cents real quick, which is Brian Gaines was brought in to be a scapegoat for Bill O'Brien no matter what. So regardless of who you're going to try and put it on, Brian Gaines, the guy whose title and job description says it's all about player personnel moves. So therefore, whether O'Brien had his hand in the cookie jar as well or not, we don't know. We may never know. But the one that's going to pay the price is going to be Brian Gain.
He was asking, is this a Bill O'Brien thing?
Is this on Bill O'Brien?
It's absolutely on Bill O'Brien. I mean, who do you – this organization internally was in turmoil because Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien were butting heads and blaming each other and pointing the finger and not getting along. And Bill O'Brien won that battle. Rick Smith is gone. He's no longer the GM. I know he's in some capacity with the Texans, or he had a VP role or something like that he might stay in, a consultant. Yeah. But Bill O'Brien won, and then Bill O'Brien got to help pick his boss. If you get to pick your boss, guess what? You're the boss.
All I'm going to say is, again, what I said, which is that might all be fine and dandy. And if the team wins games on the field, Bill O'Brien's going to be safe as all get out. But the guy that's going to be held responsible for the moves that were made, weren't made, and any ramifications is going to be Brian Gain.
Yeah, he's the scapegoat for Bill O'Brien. Right. Absolutely,
that's what
he
I'm saying,
is. Yeah, but at the end of the day, this is all on Bill O'Brien to me. I mean, I really think he's made a lot of these decisions. Even when Rick Smith was here, he was probably in on a lot of those and forcing his hand and demanding some of these decisions be made. So I hate to say this because I've always tried to be kind of neutral when it comes to Bill O'Brien off the field. Like on the field, I don't think he does a great job of play calling. But then last year when the offense was really clicking, you had to give him props. And we did. We talked about it. I tried to bring it up as much as possible. Look, everybody's poo-pooing on this offense, but they can run the ball. They're doing some things. Red zone sucks, but they can work on that. And let's give credit where credit is due. He was creative last year at times when QT was in the game and with Watson and letting him. Credit where credit is due, but at the end of the day, I just think that this is the Texans that you can expect year in and year out as long as Bill O'Brien is part of this organization. He's the problem to me.
He's the problem. And I've been the opposite of you. I've been the one critical of him for a long period of time. Yep. And in all the ways I've been critical, I haven't put him in the middle of the general manager and the player personnel moves. Obviously, we all know that was centered around the two guys, like you said, not getting along. But I hate for the city of Houston and for the state of Texas and the way this fan base is dedicated to football that you're gonna go, what, 10 years plus down the road, and you're going to look back and go, how far did this man set this organization back as opposed to how far did he get them to go?
Yeah.
Because that's a real possibility right now.
Well, I mean, you look in year in and year out, you expect things to be done. And look, they went out and got Tyrann Mathieu last year as a free agent. And that was a good, but it was a 1-year deal. And what do they have to show for it now? Nothing. He's gone. You got 1 year out of him that helped you go and lose to Indy.
But you did get good production out of him.
So
to
good.
Your point about 1-year deals, the playoffs. They didn't even do that this year.
Well, and then Tyrann Mathieu had to come out and say on his own damn Twitter, hey, maybe a team should start considering negotiating midseason if they want to keep the players that they're interested in keeping.
It's a great point because you know what? I was thinking about that when I saw that tweet last night. And again, a lot of players in a lot of sports will say, once the season starts, I'm focused on the game. I'm not going to get in the middle of this. But that's what your agent's for.
Yeah.
But if the Texans had done exactly what Tyrann Mathieu suggested, you would have gotten your safety for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have got him at a price way lower than what the market dictated once Landon Collins
Most
signed.
Likely. Most likely you would have.
Look at what Earl Thomas signed for. Coming off a broken leg on a 2-year deal, he was getting in the $15 million range. So you're talking about whether it's Landon Collins, whether it's the Honey Badger, whether it's Earl Thomas or anybody in between. We said that. The minute that Landon Collins signed, the market value for safeties this year in free agency went through the roof.
Yeah. And now Eric Berry's out there. Just breaking news. Casey has officially released Eric Berry as of 9 minutes ago, according to Adam Schefter.
There's a guy that if he could stay healthy and not – you know, he's overcome a ton.
Yep.
But if he could stay healthy, that guy's a hell of a football player.
Casey had to do that before Friday, or $7.25 million of his salary would have become fully guaranteed. So they had to make that moves. And Schefter's out there tweeting a lot of, like, official stuff. Yeah. Broncos officially acquire Flacco for a fourth-round selection. And the trade with OBJ in Cleveland is now official.
I see Antonio Brown's going to have a press conference in about 6 minutes to – officially be announced as a Raider.
Yep. This is an interesting one. 2 hours ago, Schefter tweeted out, Browns are now shopping former defensive end Emmanuel Ogba after acquiring Olivier Vernon. Hmm. So,
well,
Browns still making moves, man.
And unfortunately, that doesn't help the Texans at all.
No.
Because the people, you know, I told you about Schrader, the right tackle for the Falcons, being available. But you said he ranks in the 50s in terms of he would be. So it's not exactly an upgrade from where you are currently.
Not much. Hey, boys, can the Texans trade up first and second round picks for a top O-lineman? I don't know that they're going to do that.
And because it's such a defense-heavy draft.
Sure, but why would you waste picks? You have holes to fill, obviously, because you're not filling them in free agency.
And this year it looks
like
the offensive linemen are going to fall down in the draft to where you probably don't have to do that.
Who's worse right now, the Texans or Hunter?
You know,
that's never going away. Not for a while.
It's never going away. And you know what? I still say Hunter is at back listening like, yeah, say my name. Like, he just loves it.
Was Brad a sleeper or was he a write-in?
He was probably a sleeper.
Okay.
I'm going to go push on that, by the way. Texans versus Hunter, who's worse? Push.
Okay.
It's really hard to continue to have any faith in anyone that runs the Texans front office.
I don't disagree with that.
That isn't the problem with free agency, that the player has to want to come to Houston or the Texans just aren't offering money. It could be a combination of both. I also heard AJ say maybe you guys don't want to play for Bill O'Brien. I feel like that the vibe I've gotten is that Bill O'Brien is a player's coach. He's stern, he's strict, but guys like to play for him. Not love. I mean, I wouldn't say, I guess maybe saying he's a player's coach is a little much, but I've always felt like he's not the worst coach in the NFL to play for, but I could be wrong on that. Maybe that's part of the problem.
I think the difference is that when he comes from the Belichick tree, I've heard numerous players say, Bill Belichick is an a-hole. But when the end result is winning and winning as much as you win with the Patriots, you take that negative because it goes along with all the positives.
Yeah.
So it's kind of shocking to me that under that tree, Bill O'Brien's a player's coach. He really loves and sticks up for his players. But at the same time, you don't get that winning. You don't get that consistent winning. You don't get that kind of reputation that you back up with your play on the field to state, this way of doing things works. You know, if he came out of the Belichick tree, if he gave up a little bit of the player-coach mentality and focused a little bit more on the toughness factor, maybe it helps that team.
Yeah. Somebody said, hey, the Texans should trade their first-round pick for John Dorsey. They wish. They could do that. Also, this person said, O'Brien inherits a 2-4 team and has gotten them to the playoffs three times, and he's the problem somehow. Yeah, you're the problem when that's all you are is 9-6. Listen, on this very show, I said a couple years ago, look, you can't hate on a guy who's getting results. He's getting you to the playoffs. He's getting there. But at some point, you've got to make progress. You've got to get past 9-6 and past the first round and get to an AFC title game and scare people into thinking you might make the Super Bowl. And none of that's happening. If you love mediocrity, well, then congratulations. Bill O'Brien's your guy. If you love getting bounced in the first round and embarrassed every year you do make the playoffs, I got the guy for you. You already have him. He's Bill O'Brien. But if you want to see you want to see a guy that takes a team and makes them better every year or gets them closer every year. That's not happening.
The same thing with Jeff Fisher. I mean, if you're okay with Jeff Fisher, you would have been a 9-7 team year in and year out.
Yeah.
You might make the playoffs, but it doesn't mean you're going to stay around.
Call me crazy, but everything that Barry was just saying and he was preaching about, I heard James Harden over and over again. Bill O'Brien is the James Harden of the NFL. Some people don't want to play for him. They don't want to be around him. And from a team perspective, if you just win the regular season and you win an MVP, but come playoff time, you don't get to the ultimate goal. You don't continue to progress. And you fail in the playoffs. That's a big problem here too, is because it's not just in one sport in this city. It's a mirror track record in a lot of ways that people are tired of seeing. And of course, you can give the Rockets more credit now. Harden's more mature. The team got to the conference finals. They were an injury away from at least getting to the finals in a lot of people's minds. So there was progress made there. But there's not even that kind of progress now for the Texans standpoint. And Bill O'Brien's still sitting pretty with a new deal.
Yeah. Speaking of sitting pretty, if you got GetUpside, you're sitting pretty in your wallet because you're getting cash back, because that's what the app does. Guys, I've been telling you about GetUpside for a while now. If you have not downloaded this app yet, what are you waiting for? Go ahead and download GetUpside. It's totally free. Listeners are doing it, and they're sending me their savings, and they're actually getting cash back, just like I'm telling you that'll happen. I mean, Clarence, we just heard from Clarence earlier. He had $5 cash back with his first two times using the app. I asked him, did you use promo code Barry? He said, absolutely. He got an extra savings on his first fill-up through the app. What GetUpside does is it gets you cash back on the stuff you're already spending money on, like gas and food. So you put in promo code Barry, and the first time you fill up, you're going to get extra savings above the normal cash back that you would get through the app. And you can get up to 25 cents a gallon normally through the app at over 500 gas stations around town. You can get up to 35% cash back at restaurants like Wendy's and Popeyes and Burger King. I saw a pizza place the other day driving in. You've got Cyclone Anaya's. That list continues to grow, and up to 35% cash back is a lot of money. If you get 20% cash back every day for a week, that's a free meal in your pocket. Why would you leave that money at the counter? Why would you leave 25 cents a gallon at the pump? It doesn't make sense. Download GetUpside, put in promo code Barry, start getting this savings, because these gas stations, these restaurants, they want your business. That's why they're there. But you can only get these deals through the GetUpside app. Remember, it's in the App Store. It's totally free. It's called GetUpside. Put in promo code Barry. Get that cash back and thank me later. And we'll be back with more Usual Suspects in 60 seconds. This is ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
It's in a life like when and where.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you know how we like to do it around here on The Usual Suspects? We like to give back to you, the suspects that make it all possible for us here at Gal Media and for our show. Nick, Barry, and myself always like to take care of you guys. So with that being said, ESPN 97.5 and Netflix wants to send you and a guest to the pre-screening of The Highwaymen on March the 18th at 7 p.m. at the Studio Movie Grill, City Center. The Highwaymen follows the untold true story of the legendary detectives played by Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson, who brought down Bonnie and Clyde. Right now, if you are caller number 11, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, caller 11 wins a pair of reserved seats to the pre-screening of the Netflix Highwaymen on March 18th, 7 p.m., Studio Movie Grill, City Center. Good luck.
By the way, Nick, you might actually get your wish. I might actually die on the drive over to San Antonio.
Why, is it bad? Like the weather's terrible?
No, I have a slow leak in my tire.
On the new car?
Yeah. Probably ran over a nail or something. But, yeah, like at the low... This is what's stupid. So I have all the gadgets. I got the top-of-the-line Accord Touring Edition. It's got all the fancy stuff. Except the tire pressure monitoring system doesn't tell me what the PSI is on the tires. It just says that I have a flat or a low tire.
That's how mine is. Your car is so fancy, you would think it would have it, though.
Well, yeah, my truck had that. Like, I knew exactly what the PSI was on each tire, left front, right front,
right back. It gave you the numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did on my Chevy.
Yeah, the Chevy. And this, nothing. It just goes, low tire warning. What? Well, which one? How bad is it? Can I make it? Like, do I need to? What's going on?
If it blinks, it's just low on air. If it's solid, it means that you have a puncture.
No, that's not. That depends on the car.
Well, that's the way it is on my car.
I've never heard that before.
That could be true.
How do they know it's a puncture?
I don't know. That's new technology to me. Cars are
the sensors within the tires. No, because because a couple times I had the light on and it was blinking, and I called Toyota and they were like, "Oh no, you're good. It just needs air. Just put air in it, because when the climate changes from really cold and really hot, whatever, that you'll lose some air pressure." So he goes, "Just go to any gas station and get air in it. If it was solid, it would mean that there's a puncture in one of the tires."
I'll tell you what, when that technology first came out, my goodness, it was so bad. So bad. I remember cars coming up to my dad's shop and I would check all four tires and they would literally be overinflated.
Yeah.
And this one lady kept coming back in the Lexus. She's like, "You don't know how to check tires, Nick. You don't know how to check tires." I checked every tire like five times. I finally called the dealership. The sensor in the spare tire in the back was low. It was, the tire in the back was low, and she had a full spare, not one of those donuts.
Hilarious.
So it had a scent. Now they fixed that problem.
Yeah.
Just because your car's not on, your tire's not on the ground, it doesn't mean it's.
Yeah. I went through all of that too because I did the same thing. Funny. I kept having the tires check on. The sensor light is on, and they were picking their brains at the tire shop going, we checked. There's no leaks in any tire. There's no air shortage in any tire. We don't know what's going on. And then, oh, by the way, did you check the spare? Because the spare had a sensor too.
Yeah, it was really bad. Mercedes was really happy and proud of their sensors for a while, and they were always the most inaccurate ones ever. And now everybody is kind of plateaued and find a way.
So now listeners are sending me pictures of their tire pressure monitoring system, showing me, like, what does that mean to me? I don't care about that, Ronnie. Now I hope you get a flat, Ronnie. You happy? I hope you
and
have a flat tire.
And this just in, don't try and put sensors from a factory sensors from your factory car on rims and tires.
No?
No, that didn't work out didn't so work well out. For me either back in the day.
Somebody said, Juan in Denver said, Hunter is going down as a legend on this show. I mean, yeah. So far, it seems that way. Barry, I bought a Jeep Wrangler and started dating a big girl to maximize on my Get Upside app. That's from Fry Guy. Smart
that
man.
That was a good one.
My Honda Civic has had a tire pressure problem ever since I got it. The OEM tires are really bad. I will say this. When did I get this car? October, November? A
couple
months-ish?
It was more than a couple months now.
Yeah. Maybe 6 months ago. I have 16,000 miles on it already. That's not very good.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
You're a guy that hits 100,000 miles pretty quick.
That's 32. So my tires, I'm guessing, because they're kind of low profile. I don't think they're Z-rated, but they're pretty close. They're low profile. So I'm guessing they're not meant to last more than 20,000 miles.
Your first set is always going to last the longest.
Is it?
Yeah, always.
Well, I'm at 16, so I'm not surprised that I'm already having low tire.
Hey, dumbass
issues.
On the text line, too. I called the dealership because we couldn't figure out how to get the light off and the pressure and everything was right. So kiss my ass before I pull a Barry and make you the next Hunter.
You feel better?
I do.
Okay. Barry, before you die, can we have lawn talk one last time have our fix?
Well, hey, we'll read it at the wake. And we'll move on.
And then John Parker said ESPN has Altuve as the 10th best player in baseball and Bregman as the 6th. Should they have been higher or lower?
I'd have flipped them.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have had Altuve behind Bregman.
Nope, me either. Again, we had one great year so far for Alex Bregman. And look, all indications are he's going to continue that meteoric rise. But we all know about sophomore slumps. We all know about, you know, unfulfilled prognostications about players. And he's got to continue to do it. For as much as he was upset about the fact that he didn't get a monster raise because of last season, it was just 1 year. If he continues on the pattern, look at a man like Altuve to realize the organization's going to take care of you, you're going to get paid, and you're going to get the recognition because Altuve stacked them year after year, 200 hits, you know, all the different silver sluggers, all the different things he did, and the cash rewards came and also the rankings and the rewards came.
Yeah, I certainly think that they had the order wrong.
Who's won, Trout?
I don't know. I didn't look at the list. Okay. I don't know that I would have Bregman as a top 10 baseball player right now. I'm guessing, is that just hitters or was that pitchers included?
Also could have been just based on last year.
Yeah, that could have been it as well. But I don't know. I mean, you got Jose Altuve who pretty much does everything. I mean, the guy that hit – you know, reach 200 hits, 4 years in a row? I'm going to need to see a lot more from Bregman before I move him in front of Altuve, especially when you consider that first year when he struggled a little bit. And that's okay because he was a young player and he was a new player, but this is a guy who in two full seasons hit 284 and 286, and I know he hit the 31 home runs and 100 RBIs, and that's great. But look at how consistent Altuve has been year in and year out.
Right, that's what I'm
MVPs
saying.
And 346 batting average. Altuve is better than Bregman right now.
Yeah, I mean, hits
now don't
average.
Discount. I think defensively, Alex Bregman's probably better than Jose Altuve.
And that's the thing too. People have the nerve at times to call him average to below average fielding.
Who?
Oh my God,
Bregman?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
We talked about it on this show. There was some ratings. Even I think Palillo even talked about it. And I was like, the only reason why you could say that there's any knock on Alex Bregman is he makes such unbelievable plays with his glove. He tries to make the play at first base, and sometimes the throw gets away.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, anybody that would poo-poo on his defense doesn't pay attention to baseball. That's for sure.
And he's a dude that was a shortstop, willing to make the move to third base.
Yeah, he's still learning the right position.
So we got that, too. We did want to get to this Westbrook story. Yeah. We also got some people that want to get in here, so I don't know which way you want to go. Nice right now.
Let's hit a break, and then we can come back and get the calls out of the way, and then we can hit that Westbrook thing.
There you go.
I don't want them to have to hang forever. Yeah, we'll
that'll be the plan, as we have one segment to go in the big show before we turn over to
That's
the Blitz. Blitz will take you all the way till 7 o'clock. You don't have to do a thing. It's all right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Final segment of the show. I want to remind you that I will be at the Golf Galaxy in Spring this Saturday from noon to 2. New year. Come out and get your new gear for 2019. Everything you need for your golf game is at Golf Galaxy in Spring, located off of I-45. I'm going to be there till about 2:30, so stop by, grab some awesome ESPN swag and some giveaways. Hang out with me. Check out the new clubs. Maybe get yourself some golf stuff. All right, I don't know about all that.
How's the crowd in the golf club?
Oh, is that the golf club? I get it. Okay. You got a white belt? No?
No. I don't. Let's get KJ's call in. He wants to talk about Bill O'Brien.
All right, KJ. Redeem yourself.
What's up, man?
What's up?
Nothing. Redeem myself from what?
You got into it with Barry. You kept going on Twitter. You were your normal self, but I mean, in a lot of ways, that's embarrassing.
No, not at all. Barry's a comedian. Shit, if he can't handle it, what can I do?
Oh, this is old hating ass Kevin. That's yeah. Who this is.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'm not even going to tell my joke I had about his car. This is what I have to say about Bill O'Brien. When Bill O'Brien got here, which was obviously Gary Kubiak's players, he had what was perceived to be one of the best or a decent to good offensive line. He let Brandon Brooks walk with not offering him, saying that they thought he was soft. They let the Jones guy walk the center because they thought that Martin was going to be so much better because of his brother. And then obviously they couldn't get along with Brown. Okay, so you lost one half of your offensive line, and you've done nothing. If you're supposed to be this offensive genius, to replace or get anybody that's relatively or closely any good. So to me, you won them first 2 years when he went 9-7. That was with Gary Kubiak's offensive line, and then when you got to build your offensive line, this is what we've got. So I can feel you. Like what you say, Bear, or like when you go at people and say, hey, well, he did make the playoffs. Yeah, but what you your claim to fame is offensive genius. Gary Kubiak, I always give him this credit. He could always assess offensive talent with the best of them. That's why he found players like Aaron Foster and so on. But as far as game plan, and he would get off, and anytime your head coach can't watch the game and the field goal because he's scared, that's a problem. So, but my bottom line is, the thing that I will never let go until he changes my mind, Bill O'Brien, your offensive line has absolutely stunk, and you let two guys walk without giving them any second contract, and then you couldn't get along with Dwayne Brown, and that's why you ended up with a position that you're in.
All right, appreciate the call, KJ. Okay. Look, first off and foremost, okay,
uh-huh.
When you're talking about all of that, I mean, forget it. I'm not going to – we don't have enough time to get into all that even more, but, I mean, he covered a lot of ground, but
– I'll just say this. One, I don't think you can put Dwayne Brown on Bill O'Brien. I think Dwayne Brown's issue was with Bob McNair and the statements that he made and the way that he treated players. The same way in Arian Foster didn't like.
But I think Rick Smith found Arian Foster.
But I'm just saying Arian Foster didn't get along. He didn't like Bob McNair. Dwayne Brown didn't like Bob McNair. There were issues with the front office, not necessarily Bill O'Brien. But, yeah, you're right. There were a lot of offensive line. This Texans team had a crappy offensive line,
yep,
the protecting David Carr. They did a great job of building it back up again, only to see it all crumble, go away because they didn't think they needed to pay him. And so he has a good point in
and
that.
I don't know that Bill O'Brien's ever been known as an offensive guru. He was the quarterback whisperer. And he, Houston fans should just be thankful for the quarterbacks that he brought with him to prove it.
Yeah.
Did he?
Oh. Mm. Okay.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so basically, we were getting to this, so I want to get to this. News of the day, Daryl Morey gets a 5-year extension from Tillman Fertitta and the Rockets. 5-year extension, according to Jonathan Fagan. So evidently, he's been doing well enough that he's going to have another 5 years. He's had the job since 07, and that will continue.
I like it.
You do?
Come on, you know
do
what you really wanted to say was he gets a 5-year extension despite the Carmelo Anthony experiment failing. You know that's what you wanted to say, Joel. Don't lie.
No.
But here's the thing about that.
He redeemed himself, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's rebuilt this to be one of the deepest teams in the league again.
Joel, do you agree?
Once again, we don't have enough time on the clock for me to get into what I really
you
feel.
Don't think the Rockets are one of the deepest teams in the league right now?
Barry, we've had this conversation. I think he lucked into more of those players than he went out and made a deal or altered the salary cap or did these things. He got buyout players.
I think if any other team were to make some of those moves, you wouldn't say that GM
lucked
into it.
That's not true. I would have done the same thing. Just like as quickly as I would give credit to a John Dorsey or a guy that made shrewd trades, didn't have to give up too much to get big-time talent, things like that, give you full credit. But when I look at things like this, as much as you want to give Daryl all the gold stars for all the building of the roster, the bench back, I look at most of them as being buyouts that picked the Rockets before he picked them.
Okay. I mean, like you said, we don't have enough time. We completely disagree.
Keep going. That's the reason why I started this.
We completely disagree on that.
There was
an unbelievable
belief.
You're
not giving him credit for, one, bringing in James Harden, for, two, getting Chris Paul, for, three, developing Clint Capella, for making sure that he gets guys like P.J. Tucker.
Well, Harden doesn't count for this extension.
Yeah, first of all, we don't have enough time.
He traded for him.
But that's not, he went, but that's not fair to grade him if
Barry,
you're on whether or not.
On his body of work? On what he's done since he's been here?
We don't have enough time on this one, because the Harden one I'm not giving him, because if the Chris Paul
trade.
You're not
giving him anything, Joel.
That's not true, because I will give you the Chris Paul trade. Absolutely. Phenomenal move. And all Daryl, but I'm not giving him the James Harden deal, because if the commissioner doesn't veto the Chris Paul to the Lakers deal in a 3-way deal, you wouldn't have the pieces necessary to get Harden, and Pau Gasol would have been your centerpiece.
It doesn't matter.
Period.
It doesn't matter. He had to still go out and make that move. He had to regroup and make a new move, and he did, and he turned out to get one of the best basketball players and scorers of the basketball ever.
I'm giving him credit for getting James Harden, but I don't think you take what he did with James Harden when you're considering whether or not you're giving him an extension. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, you mean the guy that's currently
the
reigning MVP
Harden
and probably should be the MVP again. For getting that guy, you don't get credit though this time around again.
It's based on – are we in what have you done for me lately type of world?
Yeah, and what he's done for you lately is give you an MVP candidate.
And also had the Carmelo
Anthony.
Three
out of 4 years?
He brought in Carmelo Anthony. For most of the year, until buyouts happened, we said he didn't have a bench. He let two players walk away and didn't replace them with the same type players so they could play the same style. So a lot of this is luck. I'm sorry. I'm not going to give him credit for every move he's made, but I will give credit where credit is due. On the Capella thing, they wanted to bury him in Europe. Capella was the guy that said, you drafted me in the first round. I know what my rights are. I'm not going anywhere. I want to be in the NBA. I'm staying. And they instead put him in the D-League, and he's developed phenomenally. So no doubt. And he drafted him. So everybody at the time said, who, what? And he's turned out. But I'm not going to give him this in Daryl we trust. He's the genius and all this other stuff. And I'm with Nick. I think a 5-year extension was a little much.
I'm not necessarily, see, that's the thing. I'm not saying a 5-year extension was much. I'm just saying you can't give him credit for James Harden for this extension. That's all I'm saying. It's all what you've done for me lately. And if you look at what he did with James Harden, that was years ago. We're talking about the moves that he's made in the past 2 or 3 seasons.
When did James Harden get his new deal?
I'm talking about just bringing him on, extending him. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It was years ago.
It's about 3 years ago.
Mm. 2 years ago?
Okay.
That was a must do move. Like, you had to make that move. That wasn't necessarily making the team deeper.
About that? Obviously, once you have him, you want to keep him.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So
he doesn't get credit.
To do.
when you're considering an extension, I don't think Fertitta is saying, "All right, well he re-signed Harden." So
really? Because you're dinging him for losing players and not re-signing them. So why aren't you going to give him credit for re-signing players? That's not fair.
No, I'm
a mark one way or the other if you lose players. Who, by the way, what is Trevor Ariza and Luke Mbamute doing right
all
now?
All I'm saying is, why are we bringing that up? He did the right thing. Sure, you can give him credit for re-signing James Harden. I'm fine with that.
That's part of this deal. I mean, he's put a nucleus together. He's put a team together. They made a Western Conference title run. They were a hamstring away from being in the finals. I mean, you're not giving this dude credit for any of that. He took a team that he messed up completely redid it to now be a contender where people go, there's one team in the NBA that can beat the Warriors, and it's the Rockets. And you won't give him credit for none of that. It makes no sense to me.
That? I never said I didn't give him credit for any of that.
But
I'm not giving him credit
into
for all
this.
Of it. Michael Carter Williams was a hell of a sign. Daryl Morey
into being the only team in the NBA that can beat the Warriors. He lucked into that. That makes no
sense.
Never
said he lucked into it. Never came out of my mouth.
Did.
No, I didn't. He lucked into having a bench this year. You're darn right.
Oh my God.
He absolutely lucked into it with buyouts.
Your hate is showing.
No, it's not. Because I don't hate the man. We still have conversations. So how do you know what hate is? There's no hate there. I'm just honest. I know what I see.
Credit where credit is due.
Absolutely right. And I gave him credit for the things that I thought he deserves credit for.
Okay.
Period. There you go. Russell Westbrook, fined $25,000, no suspension. The fan that got into it with him, suspended for life.
Good. Very
good. In Salt Lake City. So,
they should actually, you know what they should do? They should just suspend the whole role just in case. Be like, you should have said something. You should have said something. You're all out.
My question is, if the dude just walks in with a ticket and he's not sitting where he normally sits, how you
would
policing
they know?
That? Yeah, how you policing that?
Do they have
that?
Facial recognition software?
There's no fingerprint deal when you scan your ticket. So.
No.
All right, there you have that. We appreciate you guys taking us along for the ride. Barry, drive safely to San Antonio. He's out the rest of the week. Nick and I are on our way to Dallas tonight. We'll be on Radio Row for the big fight this weekend on Showtime. So stay tuned for that. And stay tuned for the Blitz. They're coming up next. It's Fred. It's AJ. It's Aaron. And it's all here on ESPN 97.5.
I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.